So sometimes the lectionary hits a little too close to reality. I promise I did not self-select this text for today. It was set by the Revised Common Lectionary and like clockwork on year C on All Saints Day. This is our text, Luke's version of the Beatitudes. In the midst of a government shutdown, with SNAP benefits gone, many of you now without pay for a month. Maybe this is a text we need now more than ever. Luke begins with these phrases that are so familiar, right? Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed when people exclude you, hate, or revile you. And then it takes this strange twist that you don't see on pillows and greeting cards. Jesus goes on, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are laughing. And woe to you who are popular. The second part makes me feel uncomfortable. And now I've read it twice. For these woes are the life goals for our American culture. They're the dream, right? Security, full bellies. I don't even know what to do about this warning about laughter because my favorite picture of Jesus is the laughing liberator. Look how happy this guy is. He's got the like dimples. Who doesn't want to follow a God that's got a good chuckle, right? What are we supposed to do with that? And woe to you who have friends? Jesus, have you not heard the musical Wicked? There's a whole song about being popular. This gospel is hard. It's a bit of a downer. Because who wants to be reminded of the poor and the hungry? Who wants to be sad and lonely, uncool? You know, there's so many unique things about this passage. There's two versions of it in our Bible. We have the version in Matthew, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And then we get Luke's version, which is actually in a very different location. And so let's rewind a little bit. We're in chapter 5 of Luke, so this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so before this, chapter 1, we get Mary in the Magnificat, and she sings that song about God remembering the poor and lifting up the lowly. And then Jesus grows up hearing this lullaby, and so he hangs out at the synagogue and he unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he tells this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and the year of Jubilee. And Jubilee is like forgiveness of debts, all debts, starting over. So these two things happen, and then Jesus goes up a mountain to pray, and he calls the 12 disciples, and then together they climb down this mountain, and they stand in the middle of a great big field, and soon they are surrounded by this huge crowd, kind of like our bulletin image for today. I don't know if it stresses you out. Post-COVID, this image really stresses me out. Everybody hugging and sharing germs. Anyway, so they're in this giant crowd with people from all over, right? Cities and coastal towns, Jews and Gentiles, women and children and men. And Luke writes that these people have come to hear this new rabbi, to hear Jesus, to be healed of their diseases and cured of their evil spirits. And many were crowding in to try and get close enough to touch Jesus, because perhaps if they could just touch a foot or an elbow, they too would feel this healing power and be free. And so here in this spot, on a big field, surrounded by a great multitude of suffering people, Jesus looks up and he says these words. So I'm going to read them a third time. This time from the Message translation. Jesus looks up, sees all these people, and says, "You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely, for joy will come in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears your name to discredit me. What it means is the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even if they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know you are in good company, for my preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've made it, when what you have is all you'll ever get. It's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself, for yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life is all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it." This was revolutionary for Jesus' people. For righteousness was set on this idea of you having your life all together, and if your life was crumbling apart, well, it must be your fault. It's sad how revolutionary this text still is for us today. Our health, our loved ones' health, our financial status, our jobs, our popularity. Jesus reminds us today, these things are not fixed. They're fluid. And we cannot depend on them to bring us salvation, or life, or purpose. If anything, I feel like 2025 has taught us this, that life is hard, really hard. Life is not fair or just, and is often so very unkind. And yet Jesus looks into the eyes of the multitude standing before him and proclaims that you are blessed, dear ones. As life crumbles around you, God has not forsaken you. Indeed, God is right here, especially on these days when you feel scared and hungry, alone, sad. Religion professor Dr. Kate Bowler has done a lot of research on this work of blessings, and she uses the work of Old Testament scholar Stephen Chapman to kind of crack open what biblical blessing really looks like. And she does this in her book, The Lives We Actually Have, which we looked at Lent a couple years ago, so some of you might have it already on your shelves. But she writes that blessing is a particular kind of spiritual act of speaking. They're pleasant to the ear, a kind of poetry. Blessings are used for all kinds of moments. In Genesis, Jacob uses blessing as a welcoming greeting. In Exodus, food and drink and sustenance are blessed at a table. But blessing is not just an expression of thankfulness or affirmation for what God has done. It needs to be something deeper than just appreciation or praise. And blessing isn't prayers or petitions either. The act of blessing is this strange and vital work of noticing what is true. Noticing what is true about God and ourselves. Jesus models this in the Beatitudes today. He says, "Blessed are you who mourn." Which feels like an oxymoron, right? How could you be blessed as we mourn? But the act of blessing is as we name the world as we actually experience it, and also name the world that we yearn to exist, we start to reassemble what we know. When we say, "Blessed are you who mourn," we acknowledge that, God, you are here as we grieve. And grief is a part of the human experience. But we also name that grief does not get the final word. Blessing is about spiritual placement. These moments and days we are living in, they still belong in God's bigger story. And so we can be completely honest about where we're at. Because these moments we are living in are sacred and beautiful and holy and real and human and so impossibly challenging. And so for today, Jesus proclaims, I see your big, messy life, and I promise I'm not going anywhere. You are loved on your good days and your not so good days and everything in between. You are my beloved. And so lean into my love a little deeper and try to let go and care a little less about everything else. It's really beautiful what Jesus does from this place of blessing, because look where he takes us next after these Beatitudes. He says, love big. Let your grudges go. Don't be a doormat. But also don't keep score. Be generously generous, and when this work is painful, pray about it. Remember, your worth, your blessedness is not based on any of that. One last thing that has stuck with me about this text this week is the Greek word that Jesus uses for these blessings, the blessed are yous and the woes. The you in this Greek, in the Greek, is ya'all, which we miss, you know, unless we were Southern, and then, you know, we could go through it again. I'm not going to read it to you a fourth time, but this is about not just us as individuals, but it's about our corporate community life. And so it makes me wonder, what do we do? As these SNAP benefits ended yesterday, now putting 42 million Americans with less food on their tables, 1 in 4 of each of those are kids. What do we do? As that we will now be surrounded by more hungry people. What does the spiritual placement of blessing beckon to us as a faith community? I'm not sure. You all are smart people. Let's talk about it. But in the meantime, on this All Saints Day, we remember that our inheritance, our hope, our promise of life beyond death rests completely in God's loving hands. This promise holds true for those we remember today who have died, and it holds true for us. God is here. Death does not get the final word. Our anxieties, our hungers, the things we are sad about in these days does not get the final word. And for all of that, we say thanks be to God. Amen. I actually want to end with one of Kate Bowler's little blessings for you all. So it's called Blessing for This Beautiful, Terrible Day. All right? So receive this blessing. Blessed are we, the anxious, with our eyes wide open to the lovely and the awful. Blessed are we, the aware, knowing that the only sane thing to do in such a world is admit the fear that sits in our peripheral vision. Blessed are we, the hopeful, eyes searching for the horizon, ready to meet the next miracle, the next great surprise. Yes, blessed are we. The grateful, awake to this beautiful, terrible day.